Very nice to be here in Mumbai. And so many wonderful devotees. All the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada's followers that we are here today. And I see you have a beautiful, very inspiring to see on the altar a beautiful murti of Sri Ramanujacharya. Very special day. Today is appearance day today. Appearance of Sri Ramanujacharya. Some of you may be coming from the Sri Sampradaya. Any of you were previously in the Sri Sampradaya or still are? Or anyone from the Sri Sampradaya? Your family is Sri Sampradaya family? From where are you? Bombay. But Sri Sampradaya family. Any other? No. It's very important that the appearance of Ramanujacharya for even Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent many months in Sri Rangam conversing with Venkatabhat on the topics of transcendence, of the worship of Lakshmi Narayan, emphasized mainly in the Sri Sampradaya, and the worship of Radha Krishna. And the discussions were very ecstatic. Although there appear to be differences, they are only transcendental varieties of rasa, depth of taste, and they relished each other's association. So this should be the relationship between real Vaishnavas. Appreciation, encouragement. So I guess today we'll try to speak a little something in relationship to Sri Ramanujacharya, the great Acharya who so powerfully preached against Mayavad philosophy, which is crippling the world today also, diverting everyone's attention away from their goal, breaking our relationship with Krishna. So these great personalities come into this world out of their causeless mercy to try to wake us up. As we know, Lord Chaitanya said in South India, that statement of scripture which he quoted, but many great personalities will appear in South India. Practically all of our main Sampradaya Acharyas appeared in South India. Even our own Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Goswamis, many of them have their roots in South India. So please don't have to excuse it, but just accept it. My voice is not quite its normal self today. It's a wee bit rough. It's a manifestation of the heart. The heart is very, very rough. And the voice is just showing a little sign of that roughness. But by hearing about personalities whose hearts are soft with love and compassion, glorifying these great persons, these great devotees, our hearts may become a little purified. Vishnu Badaya, Krishna Festaya. Om. Prapati. Surrender. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita emphasized very much by Sri Ramanujacharya also. Ultimately, everything is to bring us to this point of prapatti, prapanya, to surrender our independence, not just our property. When Bali Maharaj surrendered the universe, whatever was so-called under his proprietorship, to Lord Vamanadev, Vindhyavali, Bali Maharaj's wife, called him an agnostic fool. We normally worship Bali Maharaj for complete surrender, self-surrender, nine processes. Atmanivedanam, complete surrender of the self. But initially, Vindhyavali called him a fool. You rascal. You are like an agnostic fool. You don't know what you're doing. Of course, any wife would say the same thing if her husband gave everything away. Right? If you came home tonight, mothers, and you found that your husband had given everything away, including all of your clothing, all of your shoes, your makeup, everything gone. Either car, everything gone. Nothing left. Only the clothes you're wearing. And be careful that he won't give that away. But everything gone. Naturally, she was upset. But she was chastising her husband, saying, "You fool. You think you have given something to the Lord? You're so foolish to think it was yours in the first place. It was never yours in the first place to give away. You think that you've surrendered all this to the Lord? No. It was his already. This is your foolishness." Prabhupada says she was much more advanced than Bali Maharaj in devotion. These are some of the teachings of Ramanujacharya, what self-surrender really means. And he especially teaches this through his followers. It is the greatness of a devotee that his followers, just like here, what can I say, but it's an indication of the greatness of the follower of Srila Prabhupada, that so many wonderful devotees are so engaged in devotional service, coming here and hearing and chanting, following your spiritual master's instructions, following it, trying to follow in his footsteps. This is another teaching of Ramanujacharya. Mahajana Yena Gataksapanta. It's one of the primary teachings of all Vaishnavas, to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. We do not change. Ramanujacharya himself, acharya, he was teaching by example as he had been inspired by Jamunacharya and his other gurus. We have many gurus. Ultimately, Krishna is our guru who appears in many forms, and Ramanuj taught that. Actually, although he didn't have any direct association practically with Jamunacharya, he received all of Jamunacharya's mercy, empowerment, by receiving instructions from his primary disciples, like Mahapurna, Gostipurna, Shailapurna, and others, who were specifically empowered to impart a particular aspect of Jamunacharya's greatness to Ramanujacharya. And he had the association of Kanchipurna, so many great devotees from whom he received inspiration. Of course, from birth, he was no ordinary personality. No ordinary personality. He appeared in this world in 1017 Western calendar AD near Kanchipuram, not far from Kanchipuram, some village there. And he was born the son of Asuri Keshavacharya and Kunti Mati. Mother Kunti Mati was the sister of Shailapurna, one of the sannyas disciples of Jumunacharya. He had two sisters, Dipti Mati and Kunti Mati, and they were both very close. And they both gave birth to sons almost at the same time. And when the two children were born, Shailapurna sannyas, he came there to see these two babies. And he gave them the names, Ramanuj and Govind. So they were very special children, right from birth, cousins. And Ramanuj, he grew up, he was like Shutidhar. Anyone here Shutidhar? Any Shutidhars here? Have you all got Kali Yuga memories? Mandas Mandamatayo Mandabhagu Padrutaha. I have these Kali Yuga memories where the only memory we may have sometimes, Prabhupada said, in Kali Yuga is remembering to write it down. Remember to write it down, will you? Otherwise you will forget. I forgot to write it down. I forgot where I wrote it. I usually write it on my hand because then at least I can probably remember where I wrote it. I didn't like us writing on the hand, by the way. Anyway, back to Ramanujacharya. He was Shutidhar. And the verse, I'm just going to quickly read the verse, which we're going to hopefully center. What time do you want us to quit? Pardon? 1:30. That's a bit too late. That's another 11 hours and 50 minutes. What time? 2:30, okay. It gives us enough time. That gives you all enough time to leave anyway. There's 50 minutes left. Everyone have a chance to. I'll shut my eyes. You can all leave whilst I shut my eyes if you want. If you want to stay, by the mercy of Ramanujacharya, we hope you'll become purified. Because to hear about pure devotees, even, unfortunately, what can I say? But I'm going to pray for the mercy of Ramanujacharya and Srila Prabhupada. They may give us a few words to say in our glorification so that you may also become inspired to follow in their footsteps. And by your blessings, maybe I can also become one lifetime a servant of their servants somewhere along the line. This is our only hope. So one of the main teachings is property of Ramanujacharya, Sarva Dharmam Paratyagya. Mamikam Sharanam Braja. This surrender, what does surrender mean to Krishna? What does it mean? What does it really mean? And later on we'll hear how some of his disciples, how they, including two of his disciples, inquired about the meaning of surrender. But we'll go back, we'll go through the little history of Ramanujacharya. Most of you are probably familiar a little bit. There's two ways we could go, I think, today. One is the philosophy, and one is the practical exhibition of the means of realization of the truth. It's one thing to know the philosophy, which is required in order to overcome the ignorance of this world, to convince people to change their lifestyle. But the real thing which changes our lives is the association of such personalities as Sri Ramanujacharya, Srila Prabhupada. I think that most of the disciples of Prabhupada were Maybe the philosophy certainly was powerful, but it was more Srila Prabhupada's personal association, more his behavior that captivated the hearts, the love which he had, the compassion which he has for all living entities, his humility, teaching real humility, real compassion, real tolerance, real surrender by his living example, which inspires people so much, even to this day. Just by hearing about Srila Prabhupada, people's lives change. Just hearing about his faith and his humility and devotion. The same with Sri Ramanujacharya. To hear about him is so inspiring. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally extracted from the life and teachings of Ramanujacharya the essential features which are prominent in our Gaudiya Vaishnava line. And more than anything else, and I won't mention what it is now, it is this principle of Sarva Dharma Parityagya. Because it means more when we put it into practice. It means everything when we put it into practice. It's not just giving up our properties, giving up our wealth, giving up our bodies even. It's much, much, much deeper. There is no limit to the depth of this statement or this verse of Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes we say it is the gate to transcendence, but it is also the ingredient of transcendence itself. It's the very essence of spirit. And Ramanujacharya so beautifully and graphically himself, and especially through his devotees, revealed this to the world. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so happily extracted this from the Sri Sampradaya to distribute it in Gaudiya Vaishnava line. We're very, very fortunate. It's so sweet. So early life of Ramanujacharya, before he moved to Kanchipuram, was in the village. He had the good fortune of meeting Kanchipurna at one point of time, and they made a close relationship. When he was 16 years of age, Ramanuja's father decided to get him married to a very beautiful young girl of a very well-to-do Brahmin family. So they were married. But shortly after the marriage, Ramanuja's father passed away. The family moved then to Kanchipuram. And there was one very famous scholarly teacher, Yadava Prakash, who was Mayavad, but nonetheless very learned and very influential. And practically all the Brahmin boys were going to him for education. So Ramanuj also went there. Govind also went there. They both studied in that ashram. But there was no end of differences. For Ramanuj, it was a very difficult time. Although he was the brilliant scholar, it didn't take long before there was great dissension between his teacher and Ramanuj. His teacher was very upset because Ramanuj could not tolerate his insultive Mayavad statements on many occasions, to such an extent that Yadava Prakash plotted to kill Ramanuj. And they arranged a yatra. Just like you have your yatras this year, you're going to Puri. Right? Puri? So Yadava Prakash also arranged this yatra, but it was no ordinary yatra. They were going to go to the Ganga They were living in Kanchipuram in Tamil Nadu. They were to go to the Ganga. Long. They had to walk. Not they went by train. Are you walking to Puri? No? You can start now. You might get there in time. They walked. Took a long time. The plan was on the way. They were going to be rid of Ramanuj in some isolated place. Afraid that if this boy should grow up, he's such a brilliant scholar, that he may preach so strongly and destroy or devastate the teachings of Shankaracharya. He was preaching Vishishtadvait, and they were preaching Advait, oneness, whereas he was preaching that actually there's a difference between the soul and God and the material energy. They have a connection, just like the body has a connection to the soul, but nonetheless there is a difference, and that difference is a permanent feature. This Yadava Prakash could not tolerate that God is also an eternal factor, that the absolute truth is a person. This was intolerable to the Mayavad mentality. So we have to get rid of this dangerous person. Devotees are very dangerous people. They destroy the opportunity for material, mundane sense gratification and liberation. And most people are interested in these two features. We take strength from Ramanuj to fight this battle against Mayavad and fruitive activity. So on the way, they were plotting like this. They would get rid of him, poison him, do something, get rid of the fellow. Fortunately, Govinda was also on the yatra, and he overheard the plot. And he informed Ramanuj that evening that tonight they're planning to kill you. So Ramanuj was shocked. He couldn't believe it. But nonetheless, he decided immediately he would leave. He disappeared into the forest in the middle of the night, into the middle of the jungle. A small young man, 18 years old, in the middle of the jungle. No, in the north of India somewhere. Vindhya, in the Vindhya Hills area. And he was lost. All night long, he just ran through the forest. It was where he's going. Everyone thought, oh, he's disappeared. They thought, by the will of providence, our work has been done without our having to do it. This is very fortunate. The boy has gone into the forest and has no doubt been eaten by some dangerous animal or died in the jungles. So they carried on their way to the Ganga and so on. Govinda didn't actually come back. He stayed after some time. He found a Shivalingam in the Ganga. And there he stayed. Stayed in some place, worshipping that Shivalingam. And didn't actually come back. He became a Shaivite. But Ramanuj, he disappeared into the jungle. And the next day, after the night it was over, he was so tired that he fell asleep. In the evening when he woke, he didn't know where to go. He looked around. It was evening time. Sun was about to set. Then he saw two persons, a man and a woman, a big man, blackish colored. He was a fowler, a hunter, and his wife. And they were passing by, and he asked, "Who are you?" He said, "We are so and so. And we're on our way. We're going through the forest." They said, "What are you doing here? You look like a young Brahmin boy. What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, I'm trying to find my way to Kanchipuram." He said, "Oh, we're also going that direction. We're on our way to Rameshwaram. We have to also pass through Kanchipuram. We're hunters. We're going there to pray for purification for our sins. You may come with us." So he traveled and said, "But it's almost night, so we will only travel a little way." Then they stopped. They lit the fire. The wife said, "I'm very, very thirsty." She was so thirsty, but the husband said, "Now it is too late. It's already dark. Wait, in the morning there is a well very close to here. We will bring water and quench your thirst." So the night they sat by the fire, they took rest. Morning they woke up, then they asked if Ramanuj would go and bring the water from this well. They showed him where it was. He went to the well. He brought the water back for them. Three times he came back with water from this Very unusual well. There was something about this well. The fourth time he came back, they were no longer to be seen. Where am I? He thought. What am I going to do now? They've gone. He looked around, and he had the shock of his life. He saw there was a city nearby. He didn't know where it was. There were towers and buildings outlined there. And then one man came by and said, "Excuse me, can you tell me what the name of this city is?" The man looked at him as if he was mad. He said, "What are you doing asking what the name of this city is? I know who you are. This is your own city. This is Kanchipuram. Don't you recognize your own city?" Ramanuja was shocked. How is this possible? He started to meditate, and he realized that this fowler and his wife were none other than Lakshmi Narayan, who brought him back safely to his home. On returning, everyone was joyful. Of course, Yadava Prakash had not returned. Everyone else was very, very happy, including Kanchipurna was delighted, and all the other devotees. And this life went on in this way. He studied there. Eventually, Yadava Prakash came back and tried to feign great happiness to see that his disciple, who he thought had been killed in the jungles, was alive. Actually, he was very upset that he was still alive, but he tried to cover it over. He invited Ramanuj back, and Ramanuj went back into the ashram. Started his study again, but after a while, of course, again, topics came up, and there was a difference of opinion over Shastra. So at this point, Yadava Prakash told Ramanuj to get out. "You are expelled." He was expelled from the school. And he studied at home in Kanchipurna, and like this he was studying. But actually, just before that expulsion, Jumanacharya had come to that place, to Kanchipuram. And he saw this young boy. Even at that point, Ramanuja had written a wonderful book on Vaishnav relationships and so on. And he was very impressed that this was the boy who had written this amazing book, which he himself had read. But he was very upset to see he was associating with this Mayavad. And he prayed that he would be released. So by the mercy of Jumanacharya, Ramanuj was released from Mayavad association. And then, after some time, Ramanuj, he wanted to take initiation from Kanchipurna. But Kanchipurna was born in a Shudra family. He was a great Vaishnav disciple of Jumanacharya, but he was a Shudra by birth. So he said, "I cannot possibly give initiation to you. You are a Brahmin. You are my master. My business is to serve you. I have no qualification." And Ramanuj was very upset. He said, "What is the use? My being born in a Brahmin family is the greatest curse. What is the use of this two-piece piece of string if it denies me the opportunity to serve the lotus feet of great Vaishnavs like you? What is the use of this birth? Let it go to hell." But still he would not initiate him. But no, I cannot do this. He wouldn't initiate him. This went on for some time. You know what to do. It so happened, of course, at a certain point of time, that having given up his association with this Mayavad philosopher, that when Jumanacharya heard that Ramanuj was now free of this association, he sent Mahapurna, one of his senior disciples, to Kanchipuram to ask Ramanuj to come. He wanted to see him. So as soon as Mahapurna arrived in Kanchipuram, Ramanuj was very elated. He was so happy. Immediately they left for Srirangam. And when they arrived in Srirangam, the streets were crowded. They wondered what was going on. It was a big procession. And then they inquired from the people, what is happening? Because what was actually happened, of course, previously, Yamunacharya had been very, very sick. And this news had spread far and near. And some residents of Kanchipuram had gone to Srirangam and told Yamunacharya that Ramanuj was freed from this Yadava Bakar. So then Yamunacharya sent Mahapurna to bring him. So then Yamunacharya recovered somewhat from his ill health, just like that. So then when Ramanuj inquired, then they told him, oh, the great Alabandhar has just left this world. And everyone was in great lamentation. Ramanuj fainted to the floor, totally devastated, lost consciousness. Devotees splashing water on his face, he came to again and said, at least we should go and see the form of that great personality before he is entombed. So they went down to the river Kaveri, and there they saw for the last time the form of that great Alabandhar, Yamunacharya, lying there. And everyone saw Ramanuj appeared. It was as if an expansion of Yamunacharya had suddenly appeared in their midst. As he was standing there, all the eyes went on Ramanujacharya as he stood at the feet of his inner heart's guru. And he noticed that Yamunacharya's hand, his right hand, three fingers were tucked in like this, clenched to his hand. And Ramanuja asked, is it that Alabandhar always had his fingers clasped like this? The disciple said, no, we have never seen this before. We have no idea why this is the case. And then all of a sudden, Ramanuj spoke, and he said, with a humble heart of devotion, I will spread the message of devotional service to one and all and deliver everyone in the land. And one finger popped up. I will write a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, the Sri Bhashya, and thus I will defeat the Sharaka Bhashya of Shankaracharya. Another finger popped up. I will initiate one disciple, Parashara, in honor of Parashara Muni. The third finger popped up. Everyone was astonished to see the greatness of Ramanuj. After a short while, he left and went back to Kanchipuram. And there, gravely, he studied the scriptures with Kanchipurna. Very gravely and deeply. Absorbed in meditation and study. Time passed after the departure of Yamunacharya and Srirangam. Nobody could really fill the role of Acharya. 1 year passed. After 1 year, the devotees in Srirangam thought there is no choice. They need an Acharya who can inspire them. They all decided that only Ramanuj could fill that role, although he was not initiated in the line as such. They sent Mahapurna again to Kanchipuram to request Ramanuj, to initiate him and to request him to come and to stay there for as long as it took. So Mahapurna, he was a grihastha, he left with his wife. They went to Kanchipuram. And there, just before that time, Ramanuj was feeling somewhat undone, somewhat wasn't feeling satisfied. There were some unanswered questions in his heart. So again, he was begging Kanchipurna to please initiate me, but he would not do it. He would not do it. He refused to do that. And Ramanuj then begged him, please then at least be kind to answer my doubts. So that day, Kanchi Purna in the temple prayed to the Lord Varadraj to please have mercy. And the deity revealed six things to him on behalf of Ramanuj. He revealed that I am Parabrahman. I am myself, the Supreme Person. The living entities and myself are both eternal and both distinct. That the only path to understand me is pure bhakti. That even if my devotee does not remember me at the time of death, I will still liberate him. That all my devotees, I guarantee that I will take them back to Godhead, to my own abode. And Ramanuj should immediately take initiation from Mahapurna. These six things he spoke. And then Kanchi Purna revealed them to Ramanuj, who became elated and started to dance in ecstasy. At the same time, Mahapurna was on his way to Kanchipuram. Ramanuj left Kanchipuram, and they met in the middle. Surprising enough, they met in the middle. And then Ramanuj begged him for initiation there and then. He said, let us go first to Kanchipuram. No, I cannot take the risk. The last time we missed the golden opportunity of the darshan of Yamunacharya. I cannot take the risk that I will live that long. Right now, please initiate me in this line. So there and then the initiation took place. And they returned to Kanchipuram and lived there for some time in great happiness. They lived in the same house with Ramanuj and his wife. But after some time, by the arrangement of Providence, there was a misunderstanding between the two wives when Ramanuj was out. The two wives were at the well, and Masikambal, the wife of Ramanuj, was a little proud of her birth. She was also initiated by Mahapurna, but she was a little proud of her birth and didn't have much respect, actually, for Mahapurna at all. And some water from Mahapurna's wife's pitcher spilt into Ramanuj's wife's pitcher, to the bucket. And she began, "Oi, you've just wasted a whole pitcher of water. You're from a lower class than me. Now my pitcher has become contaminated. I have to again get water from the well." She screamed. And she started chastising her. "Who do you think you are? You're living with me. You're behaving like you're my equal or you're my master even. You're nothing compared with me." She got suddenly upset like this. Mahapurna's wife fell on the floor crying and begged practically for forgiveness. And she went home and told her husband, and then they decided now is the time to leave. And they just walked out. Ramanuja came back and he was very disturbed to hear what happened. "You wretched woman, how could you do this? How could you do this?" He was so upset. Maybe different things were going on which caused him in this way to feel like this was household life was not favorable for his mission. So later on, again he asked Kanchipuram, "Please, please." He's always asking him for his mercy because now he was initiated. He wanted to serve him. Kanchipuram never liked to accept service from anyone. He thought, "I'm a Shudra. I'm the lowest of mankind." And Ramanuj would always say, "Oh, what is the use of this birth? It means nothing. Actually, the only qualified Brahmana is one who worships the Lord of Vaishnav." And Kanchipuram showed a little mercy. He engaged Ramanuj in menial service, bringing water every day to the worship of the Lord. Bringing menial service. This is what attracts the Lord's mercy. So then one day, Ramanuj asked, "Please, will you come to my house tomorrow for prasadam? I want to, please." Actually, what he wanted was the remnants of Kanchipuram's prasad. This is what he wanted. But Kanchipuram knew exactly what he was up to. So he played a trick on Ramanuj. The next day, Ramanuja asked his wife, cook the best of food. So his wife cooked wonderfully. And then everything was ready. And then Ramanuja went to the temple, Lord Varadavaj, to call Kanchipurna. And Kanchipurna, of course, had already left. He'd gone on a different route to the house, to Ramanuja's house. And as one was going this way, the other was going that way. And they missed. And Kanchipurna arrived at the house of Ramanuja, and Ramanuja was at the temple. He said, oh, my dear mother, I'm very sorry. I have to go quickly. I know your husband is inviting me for lunch, but I have to leave very quickly. Please, can you give me a little prasad, and I will be on my way. And his wife said, well, my husband will be back soon. I cannot wait. I have important service to do. Please explain it to your husband. So she served him nicely. She gave him water to wash his feet and so on, and then served him. And served him nice prasadam. And he took the prasadam, whatever he wanted, picked up the plate, and took the plate away with him. And his wife was thinking, oh, okay, now I've done my duty. She took all the remainder of the prasadam, which was left in the pots, and fed it to some shudras in the village, thinking that this devotee is a shudra. I cannot possibly give anything for which is meant for him to my husband. So she gave it all away to some shudras. Her husband got back. He thought, what happened? Did Kanchipurna come this way? Oh, yes, he came. He had to go quickly. I don't know what he was up to. He had to leave quickly. And did he take prasad? Yes, yes. The remnants? Oh, well, I gave them all away, of course. She was again cooking for her husband. What? You gave them away? Oh, no. He got angry, almost like Parvati did with Lord Shiva. He got very angry. You foolish woman. She said, well, he's a shudra. How can I give my remnants? Shudra! He was like fuming. He's the most elevated Vaishnava. This is the greatest opportunity my life denied to me by you wretched woman. And he went away to the temple, chastising her like anything. You're proud of your birth. To hell with your birth. What difference does birth make? He was always preaching against this casteism. So then he went back to the temple. Meanwhile, one skinny brahmana came to the house, Ramanuja's house, very hungry. Now, at this time, of course, Ramanuja's wife was very disturbed. She was really, really disturbed. This brahmin came at the door begging alms. He said, get out of here, will you? You think you can come here? You think there's some rice here for you? You beggar, go away! She was so upset. And the poor fellow didn't know what hit him. He left the house. He was very unhappy. On the way, Ramanuja met him, asked him what had happened. Yes, now is the chance. Ramanuja was very expert. He manifested all the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. This is one very expert experience. He composed himself. He thought, now is my chance. My dear Brahman, I'm so upset to hear what has happened to you. But don't worry. I will give you a letter now. You take this letter and say that you have come from my father-in-law, the father of my wife. And the father of my wife has sent this letter for her. And it's a very important letter. You give this to her and tell her that this is for me. That her father has sent it actually to be given to me. I will come after some time. So he went back to this Brahmin, went back to the house, knocked on the door. Oh, said, I have come from your father. Oh, my father? Aha. Whoa. Ah. I have a letter. Oh, a letter from my father. Oh. Give me the letter. Oh, but it's actually a letter from your father for you to give to your husband. Okay, all right. Come in, come in, come in. She brought him in and looked after him nicely. And then shortly later, Ramanuja came. And he said, oh, my dear husband, I have got a letter from my father for you. So she gave the letter to Ramanuja, and he opened the letter, and the letter was read. My dear daughter, I have a very important message for you. Your sister is about to be married. I want you to come home immediately, because without your help, your mother will not be able to manage all the affairs for her wedding, and she very much needs your help. If it is possible, your husband can come too. Otherwise, he can come later if he's too busy. So she was very happy. She's a very attached woman. And she was very happy. And so Ramanuj said, please, you can go immediately, no problem. But I have some important business to do here. She had no idea what his important business was. But she very happily left. And they rewarded the Brahmin. And Ramanuj then, as soon as she gone, he went to the temple of Lord Bharadvaj. And there he surrendered. Saiva Diamond Parityagya Mamikam Sharanam Bhaja. Now I surrender myself, my life and soul to you. Do as you wish with me, my Lord. I am yours. I have nothing else but your pleasure as my life. And, of course, there was no doubt some transcendental transmission. But there and then he obtained saffron cloth and a tridanda. He accepted sannyas there and then and became a renunciate. Never to, very unusual way of leaving family life. We don't recommend this to one and all, but this Ramanujacharya, ultimately, yes, when the time is right, that he accepted the sannyas order of life. And then, very quickly, of course, devotees, they took shelter of him, Koresh, Dikshelter and others came forth and took initiation from him. Even Yadava Prakash surrendered to him. The Mayavadi, by the grace of his mother, also came to his senses and became a disciple of Ramanuj Acharya. And then he went to Sri Rangam and became the Acharya. Our time is short. We'll just tell a few more pastimes. We could go on, I think, by Ramanujacharya's mercy, a little longer, but we'll keep it to the point. Many, many pastimes took place, of course, in Sri Rangam and other places. One of the first pastimes was one of the amazing things he taught, as we mentioned earlier. The essence is actually of Sarva Dharma Pratyagya is Vaishnav Seva, service to the Vaishnavas. So he would render menial service to the disciples of Jamunacharya, even though he was now the new Acharya of the Sampradaya. He considered all the disciples of Jamunacharya as his guru, all of them, not just Mahapurna who had initiated him. They suggested that he go to Gostiapurna, who was another senior disciple of Jamunacharya, to receive the secret mantra of the Sri Sampradaya. So he went there 18 times. He was refused. But he was determined. Eventually, Gostiapurna was convinced by his god brothers to give the mercy to Ramanuj, that he was actually qualified to receive this divine mantra. So he gave him the mantra on the condition. This mantra is so pure that it should never touch the lips of anyone who has any material desire. Anyone here have any material desires? Anybody? Only one or two? I'm a little blind. I can't see very well. Anyone have any material desires? Hands up if you do. They'll all be satisfied and fulfilled very shortly. Just hold on. Completely satisfied. I won't ask you what they are, but you'll have no more worries after a few minutes. Gostiapurna said, just do not tell this to anyone else, all right? Otherwise, you will go to hell. So Ramanuj thanked his spiritual master. He gave him the mantra. There are different stories, but this is the nicest story. And then he went, left the ashram. And the first thing he did in that place, he was thinking, well, if, because he said that anyone who chants this mantra will just by chanting this mantra, you are guaranteed to go to Vaikunth, without a doubt. So he thought, if anyone who chants this mantra is going to go to Vaikuntha, let me give it to everyone. This was his thought, contrary to the instruction of Gostiapurna. So he went to the temple in the town, And he called everyone together. He went up on top of the temple and said, "My dear friends, I have very good news for you. I have the most valuable jewels. You may be poverty stricken, you are full of material desires, but I have the answer to all of your problems. I can satisfy all of your desires. I have the most valuable gems and jewels for you." Everybody naturally came running to that place. Jewels? Riches? Gems? Let me see what nectar is there. And he stood there. "My dear friends, please repeat after me. Om Narayanaya Namaha." And everybody chanted this mantra. And everybody suddenly was transformed in transcendental ecstasy. All their heart's desires were satisfied. They no longer hankered for anything of this world. They were all delivered on the spot. And Ramanuja was in ecstasy also, seeing the mercy of his guru and the mercy of the mantra. But when his guru found out, Siksha Guru had given him this mantra, he became enraged. "You rascal! How dare you do this, disobeying my order? You will go to hell! And you've even come back to see me, and I have to see your wretched face! I'll be contaminated by seeing the face of such a wretched person as you. How dare you do this?" And Ramanu said, "My dear Guru Maharaj, please forgive me for whatever offense. I did not mean to offend you. My only thought was that if someone, if I go to hell, what does it matter if an insignificant insect like me goes to hell? If all these people shall be delivered by chanting this mantra, let this insignificant insect go to hell for whatever he's done." Kostapurna, shocked, came to his senses, almost couldn't believe what he heard, and fell at the feet of Ramanuj. "You are my guru. Please forgive me. You have really understood the meaning of this mantra." This was the depth of, just like Vasudeva Dutta, the compassion of Ramanujacharya. His compassion is unending, unlimited in its depth. Service to the Vaishnavas. He taught this over and over again. One time, I'm going to tell two more stories, then we're going to have to quit, unfortunately. One time they were on their way, many devotees from Sri Rangam, they wanted to go to Tirupati, to Sri Shaila. They wanted to go to Shailapurna, was staying in Tirupati. Shailapurna had actually delivered Govinda from his Shaivite worship, and Govinda had become a great Vaishnava, living there in Tirupati with Shailapurna. So they wanted to go to Shailapurna. On the way, long, quite a walk even from Sri Rangam, they went through Kanchipuram and other places. And one place they came to, a small village, there Ramanuja had two close disciples. That was the Yagyesh and Vadracharya. Two disciples were residing there. One was rich, Yagyesh was very rich, and Vadracharya was very, very poor. So Ramanuja was traveling with quite a large entourage. So he sent two of his disciples ahead to the house of Yagyesh because he was rich, because he thought that poor Vadracharya would not be able to accommodate us and provide for us. So we will stay at Yagyesh for the night, and he will have no problem looking after us. The two disciples went to Yagyesh's house, and Yagyesh was elated when he heard that Ramanuja was on his way, a chance to serve him. He was so ecstatic, he immediately started making arrangements. And the two disciples went back to Ramanuja and said that, "Yes, Yagyesh is ready to receive you all." Ramanuja asked, "And how did he receive you?" And they said, "Well, he didn't really receive us at all. He didn't even give us a cup of water, what to speak of anything else." What? This is very bad. This is one of the main things that Ramanuja would preach to his Grihastha disciples, was first and foremost service of a Grihastha disciple is to treat all guests like God, to worship the guest to your house just like Lord Narayan or your guru has come to your house. This is the first duty of Grihastha. And he has disobeyed my first instruction. We will not go to his house. We will go to the house of Yadavacharya. We will go to the house of the other devotee, Vadavacharya. So they went to the house. Unknowingly, they arrived at the house of Vadavacharya when he wasn't even there. He was out begging. He would spend half the day begging enough rice just to cook a little food to offer to his deity, to make a little offering. His wife was there. She was amazed to see her guru with his disciples. She was so ecstatic. She said, what am I going to do? She gave them water to wash their hands. She showed them the nearby the kund where they could take their baths and so on. And then she thought, I have to cook something. He went in the kitchen. There wasn't even one grain of rice. They were so poor. She didn't know what to do. Her husband was out. But she had a secret weapon. She was very beautiful. He was a beautiful young lady. And there was one rich, lusty man in that town who was always trying to woo her, tempting her by different gifts. But she would never succumb. She was so chaste. Now she thought, is the time I have to accept this offer. She went to that man and said, my dear sir, you can do what you want with me tonight. All I request is now, I will come to you tonight. You can do as you wish with me. But right now, all I ask is, please, give me all I ask so that I can serve my guru. The man thought, my God. He'd given up hope. He thought, this is my lucky stars. At last, I can't believe it. Without asking, suddenly, I've got what I want. He was in ecstasy. He sent everything she wanted to the house. She busily started preparing a great feast for her Guru Maharaj and all the other devotees. When they took their bath and when they returned, everything was ready. Wonderful feast. The woman's husband, Bhattacharya, came back and he was surprised, elated and ecstatic to see his Guru Maharaj with all of his godbrothers there and taking a wonderful feast. He looked at his wife with a great smile and said, my dear Devi, how is this possible? What good fortune you have managed. How have you done this? She hung her head in shame. He begged her, please tell me, how has this been possible? And she explained the whole thing. He became ecstatic. He said, how fortunate am I to have a wife like you? I am the most fortunate man in the world to be married to you. You are such a great devotee. You alone know what Guru Seva means. She considered that the highest form of Dharma, Sarva Dharma, the highest form above all morality, above all other principles, is to serve one's Guru even at the expense of one's own humiliation, even at the expense of one's own disgrace. Service to the Guru is all that counts. And he understood this principle, that he saw his wife was such an elevated devotee that he practically worshipped his wife. Then they went to Ramanuj to know what to do. Ramanuj fed them prasadam, said, you now take these remnants to that merchant. You now take them to the merchant and explain what's going on, and then leave it up to him. They went to the merchant. They gave the merchant the remnants of both Ramanuj's prasadam and theirs as well. The merchant took the prasadam, said, you do not understand the power of Mahaprasad. You will see. When that merchant tasted that Mahaprasad, his whole life suddenly changed. Tung, like that. Oh, what have I done? I'm such a sinful rascal. You are such great personalities. Please forgive me. It fell at their feet and begged them for their forgiveness. And he came with them back to Ramanuj and surrendered at Ramanuja's feet and became a disciple also. This is the power of Mahaprasadam. Another time, Ramanuj was walking with his sannyas disciples. They came to a lake. There were many fishes in the lake. Ramanuj then threw his Mahaprasadam in the lake. The fishes suddenly came to the surface. Like fishes only know how to. And they gobbled up the Mahaprasadam. And suddenly, boom! They took on forearm forms and flew out of the lake. Back to Vaikuntha. All the sannyasi were watching. What is this? What's going on here? They couldn't believe their eyes. One minute, these little fishes are in the pond in total ignorance. And after a second, they're flying back to Vaikuntha. Ramanuj walked on. They stood there, stunned, looking at the lake, scratching their heads. And then they called. Ramanuj looked back. What's wrong? Oh, great Yatiraj, we have a question for you. We just wondered, what happened here? What do you mean, what happened here? Didn't you see? Yes, but it's the power of Mahaprasadam. But we've been taking Mahaprasadam for the last 20, 30 years. This hasn't happened to us. We have to become a fish to go back to Godhead. He said, there's a difference. These fish took the Mahaprasad with total innocence, without any offense. You commit offenses. Therefore, although you're taking Mahaprasadam, because of offenses, your advancement is constantly held back. There's a difference. You have to become free of any offensive mentality towards any living entity whatsoever. And you can go back to Godhead. So, and he said, when they got fired, well, then he said to Yogesh, and then he went to Yogesh, and Yogesh was very unhappy and upset and apologetic. He said, you should know there is no higher dharma than Vaishnav Seva. He told the same thing to, what was his name now? The other, I've forgotten his name. The first two disciples, what was his name? There was Koresh, and what was the other one's name? Huh? Dasarati, so much wanted to know what meaning of this verse, Sarvadharma Pratishyogya. So he gave him a test, and he had to go and serve menially in the home of the son-in-law of Mahapurna. And he served there menially in the house, cooking, fetching water, going miles away to bring the water every day for 6 months. He served as like a servant in the house. And this way he was able to understand the real meaning of this verse. It is not by learning it, memorizing it. It's by living it. Menial service is put the Paruda capture the heart of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by menial service. It's by menial service we capture the Lord, not by knowledge. This is all the acharyas teach this. It's a simple process. We just have humility. Remember this menial, everything will be revealed in course of time. Then they came anyway, eventually they reached up to Tirupati, and Govinda was there. They were ecstatic to see each other, cousins and friends from childhood. Govinda had practically saved Ramanuja's life. And so they were very happy. But Ramanuja had a few surprises there. One was to see Shailapurna and how Shailapurna was rendering menial service to Ramanuja. He was personally bringing water and the Chanamriti. This is my service. He was so humble, teaching humility. This is the way to actually please one's guru. And then he saw Govinda was behaving rather strange. The name Govinda. Govinda seems to be a good name for a servant. Lord Chaitanya had a name, servant Govinda. And here, servant Govinda. He also became one of Ramanuja's servants. So, and you also have your Govindu, who's not here right now. So, Govinda was doing weird things. And he saw him. There was a snake, and there was Govinda sticking his finger down the snake's mouth. Poisonous snake. What are you doing? The snake was writhing in pain. And Govinda was stood there, holding the snake, with his finger going down the snake's throat. So you're causing danger to yourself and you're causing pain to the snake. What's going on? He said, no. The snake, whilst he was eating something, he swallowed a thorn and it's got stuck in its tongue and it's suffering pain. So I'm just trying to release the pain from the snake. Couldn't tolerate to see the pain of any living entity. And then another day he saw Govinda lying on Shailapurna's bed. So what are you doing? This is a great offense. Don't you go to hell for this? Anyone lies on your guru's bed? What are you doing? And even the guru said, yes, for this you have to go to hell. What to do? He said, well, my guru, I don't mind Guru and Guru. The only reason I'm doing this, I don't mind going to hell at all. But my only concern is that this bed is comfortable for you. So I must test the bed first to make sure it will be comfortable for you to lie in. And let me go to hell. That doesn't matter. Your comfort is all that matters. See the mentality of Guru Seva. This is the aspect of Guru Seva. All that matters is my Guru's instruction, Vidyabhushan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. They taught this so deeply in their commentaries on Gita. Guru Seva. This goes on. One last story. And then we will finish. Our favorite. Back in Sri Rangam, you can all guess which one it will be, I'm sure. There are two very famous stories, maybe more. There are many. We could tell the story of Kolahala. That's one of our favorites. And Qureshi's incredible Guru Seva. And is in tremendous, tremendous humility and tolerance. That's a story which itself has unending depth. Unending. But we're not going to tell that one now. We could try to tell the story of, what was it, Bibi? What was her name? Bibi Lakshmar. That Muslim girl who was so much in love with that deity of Ramapriya. The deity of Ramapriya. Beautiful story. But we'll tell the story of Danardas. Try to. It has so many ramifications. So sweet. So one time, there was a festival of Lord Ranganath. It was the Ganesh. Festival of Lord Ganesh. When Ranganath rides on the chariot of Garuda. It's the Garuda festival. Rides on the chariot of Garuda. And they're going through the streets of Sri Rangam. There's a great parade, Kirtan parade, going through the streets. Everyone is in ecstasy. The priests are chanting mantras. The devotees are all chanting in Kirtan. There's many musical instruments that are being played. Everyone's coming out making their offerings. And they're going through the streets to the Kaveri and back to the temple like this. And everyone's in ecstasy. And then Ramanujan notices this. Everyone's absorbed in this festival except for this, appears to be this one man. Large-sized fellow, holding an umbrella in one hand and a whisk in the other. And he's holding the umbrella over this lady and he's fanning her. And they're walking along and he's completely oblivious to what's going on around him. Totally mesmerized by the girl. And I thought, what is happening here? This fellow seems to be in another world. So he sent some of his disciples over to try to attract his attention. After a while, it took him a while, but after a while they got through to Danardas and they said, the great Acharya Ramanuj would like to have a word with you if you don't mind. Oh, he'd heard of Ramanuj. Oh, yes. So he came over and he offered his obeisance. Ramanuj said, my dear sir, I've noticed you don't seem to be at all interested in the festival that's going on. What is it that has captured your attention? He said, oh, my dear Acharya, it is I am captivated by the most beautiful thing surely in creation. What is that? The two eyes of my beautiful beloved. They have captured my heart. I cannot take my eyes off of them. Ramanuj said, what is this? So you think that's the most beautiful thing? Surely it is. Then if I can show you two eyes that are more beautiful than these, will you also give your heart to that person who possesses those two eyes? Surely I will give my heart to whatever, of course he thought it would be a woman to begin with, whichever woman possesses those eyes. He said, then you come and see me tonight here at dusk. All right? Okay. And he went straight back to his girlfriend and he carried on with his umbrella and whisk and away they went. He was so infatuated. So this is the result of lust. You get completely blinded. Totally blinded. So then dusk came. He came. Ramanuj was there. Okay, come now. Let us go. Into the temple of Ranganath they went just at the moment when the aarti that was taking place, the jyot was being offered. At that moment, there is no electricity in those days. So the temple was all dark except for the lamp. So just as the lamp was being offered, of course, the face of Lord Ranganath was enlightened. And the eyes, the beautiful lotus eyes of Lord Ranganath suddenly became enlightened and visible. And as they were stood right at the front, was Ramanuja taking them right to the front, they could see right there the eyes of Lord Ranganath. And as Danardas saw those eyes, his eyes opened His real eyes opened. And suddenly, he saw before him the eyes of Lord Ranganath. And his heart just flew to the deity. And he realized how foolish he was and surrendered to Ramanujacharya. Ramanuj said, "Are you married?" He said, "No." He got them married. They both became great devotees of Ramanuj, husband and wife. Living there in Sri Rangamas Grihasas, Ramanuj had many. He had 700 sannyas disciples. I think it was 700. I think it was 700. Yes, 700 sannyas disciples, 12,000 brahmachari disciples, 300, like, I don't know what they call them, but like renounced ladies, and lakhs of Grihastha disciples all over India, preached all over. So the sannyas disciples, brahmacharis mainly, not so much sannyas, brahmacharis were some a little bit puffed up. You know how brahmacharis are, you know. Get all proud, huh? All these grihasthas here. They're all in Maya. Grihastha life is a wonderful facility to develop humility. Brahmacharya sannyas is a little more challenge. The brahmacharis and grihasthas have to serve the grihasthas, and the grihasthas serve the brahmacharis and sannyasis. Everyone has to become servant of the servant. So everybody can become humble. But they were a little proud, and Ramanujacharya used to walk daily on the way down to the Godavari, and on the way back. On the way back, he would hold the hand of Dhanurdas, and they would talk confidentially. So some of the brahmacharis, they would become a little bit envious of this, and he could understand this. So one time, Ramanuj wanted to display the reason why Dhanurdas was so special to him. So one night, whilst they're all fast asleep, the brahmacharis were all in their ashram. Should do a living drama of this sometime here in Chaupati. And we'll go in the brahmacharis ashram at night and play a little trick on all the brahmacharis. And he went down into the laundry room or out onto the balcony, wherever it is, and he tore all the cloth of the brahmacharis. He ripped all their cloth, you know. And it wasn't monkeys up to mischief. He did it himself. So when they all woke up in the morning, they all came down. "Hey, who's torn my cloth? My cloth's torn." They were all at each other's, you know, getting on each other's case. "You tore my cloth. Who tore my cloth? Hey." All very upset. Ramanuja was watching without comment. And so anyway, they managed to calm them all down. It was like a fight going on there, and all fighting, arguing with each other. So he calmed them down, and life went on. He said, later on he called him over. He said, "You know, one thing is, I've been thinking about it, you know. This Dhanurdas, as you probably noticed, he's very attached and a bit proud as well, you know. Very attached and very materialistic devotee. And I think we should teach him a lesson. So I'll tell you what. Today, he'll be coming to see me as usual today. I'll keep him here. Meanwhile, you go to his house. We'll have a bit of a laugh, okay? You go to his house. And whilst he's here, you try to arrange, you steal all those jewels. You know, all those valuable jewels he likes to decorate his wife with. He's very proud of his wife. He likes to see her walking around looking like, you know, the queen of something or another. And you know, you take all those jewels, then we'll just see what kind of devotee he actually is. So they were, our guru's thinking like we are, you know, we didn't realize this. Oh, yeah, let's go. They were all very keen out on Sankirtan, they did go. They ran out on this is a big Sankirtan pick. They went out to get their collect some wealthy items. So they went to the house of Dhanurdas and they looked in and they saw that his wife was Himanga. She was asleep. Looked like she was asleep. So they crept in and they took everything out the cupboards and wherever they could find it. They saw a lot of jewels on her arms and legs everywhere they stood. But she was on her side. So they took all the jewels off her one arm, off her one leg, and wherever they were on that one side. And then they thought, why do we get the ones off the other side? It was a bit difficult. She was lying there. But she wasn't asleep. She was watching everything. She was kind of lying there resting. So then she started to move. And then, oh, they thought she's waking up. They ran for their lives with all the jewelry in their bags. And they were gone. They went back to Ramanuj with all this jewelry. And meanwhile, Dhanadas came back home and he saw, "Funny, what's wrong with you today? Why have you only got jewels on half your body? Why only on one side, not the other?" And then she explained the whole thing, that these poor brahmanas came here today. They must have been very poor. They must have needed some wealth of some sort. So they obviously took all the wealth they could. And then they started taking the jewels off of me. And I thought, well, they're having a hard time reaching the ones on the other side. If I move around the other way, they might get them as well. But before they could get them, they ran away. I said, "You stupid woman. You stupid woman, you should have stayed still. They might have been able to get them off you if you'd stayed still. You don't realize that these are not your jewels. Everything belongs to Guru and Krishna. You should have moved." She was chastising. "You still think that these things are yours. You haven't realized it yet." And then she prayed to her husband, "Please." They're all there watching this. Ramanuja brought them all back to watch the incident of what would happen when Dhanadas got home. And they were all shocked to see it. He's chastising his wife, first of all, for not giving them all the rest of the jewels, that they should have given them all those as well. And secondly, thinking that they were hers in the first place to give. In this way, he was teaching through his various devotees various aspects of Sarva Dharma and Parichagya to the whole world today, so that we can relish this and understand how we can understand this secret of Bhagavad Gita. And the real secret of all, the most deep secret, is this Vaishnav Seva. By serving the devotees of all different levels, never mind their birth, never mind their caste, never mind where they're from, even Muslims took shelter of Ramanujacharya. He made no distinction, didn't make any difference. Whoever they were, it's their devotional attitude which counts. Service to the Vaishnavas. This is the essence of Ramanuja's teachings and the essential ingredient which Lord Chaitanya took, and not that it wasn't there already, but emphasized in the Gaudiya Vaishnavism as one of our major aspects of our life, to serve the devotees. So we'll have to finish there because time is already over time. We get extra pay, I know, but we don't want to put you in difficulty. Do you get paid or extra for overtime? You get kicked out. Don't come back again. I'm sorry for offenses committed or any the errors are non-stop, but that's neither here nor there. We hope you thought a little bit about Sri Ramanujacharya, and we hope that you're only increase your already existing Vaishnav Seva tenets, which you all have, and your attachment to the holy name. Of course, his final instructions included this, his first instruction. Final and first. First and final was to always serve the Vaishnavas as if on the level you serve your guru, and to always relish the chanting of the holy names and study Vaishnav scriptures. The different instructions he gave, final instructions before he left this world. And so many other instructions he gave to other devotees and taught in different ways. Sri Ramanujacharya ki jai. His divine loving grace, without whose mercy we would never, probably none of us would have really have had this opportunity to hear much about these things, certainly not to follow them or understand what the real purport of these teachings are. His divine loving grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanande! Srila Prabhupada ki! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Louder! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare! Jai Ananta Kota Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi. Deliver you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. Hare Bol.